Fritz, I'd like to send you warm regards from the paranoid states of America, as everyone is in a serious state of panic. Purell in New York costs around $300 a bottle right now. It's more expensive than liquid gold, but Baruch Hashem, everyone seems to be doing okay. I'm so happy to be back here. Okay, so I did not have my set of Shlita Pinchas with me. I really should have brought it, but being that there's around 10 of them, that would have been a lot for my carry-on. I'm going to share with you something from the Sefer Lekach V'Alibov. Sefer Lekach V'Alibov is written by Rabbi Avram Shor, and most of what we're going to say today is not really his own. There's a small amount here that perhaps he's putting together, but a lot of these ideas are similar concepts to things that we've seen before in the Shvilei Pinchas. So we're going to speak a little bit about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe V'Aro, in this week's parasha, last week's parasha, I'll tell you what. This week's parasha is famous for being the parasha that Moshe Rabbeinu's name does not appear. Did you know that? Does anyone know that? From when Moshe Rabbeinu came on the scene, Parshas, anyone know Parshas Shemois, until Zois HaBrocha, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is in every single Parsha. Moshe Rabbeinu is huge. He's like a major, major player. As a matter of fact, when the Rambam talks about Moshe, he says that there was never a Navi in the world like Moshe Rabbeinu. It's called Teres Moshe. It says every person's Yochel Lios, Tzadik Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe's big. Moshe's a very big figure. But in this week's Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't appear. It's very interesting. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu's name not in this week's Parsha? So if you look, this week's Parsha always falls out around the same time as Zayin Adar. Zayin Adar is the day that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. It's a Tainus Tzadikim because Moshe Rabbeinu ben Amram, he was born on this day and he passed away on this day. So what is the significance of Zayin Adar that Moshe Rabbeinu's name doesn't appear? So the pshat that's brought down is as follows. By the tragic chet of the Egel Azov, the whole Erev Rav, so Moshe Rabbeinu kind of like was taking responsibility for this. Why? Because he's the one that really brought the Erev Rav in. In other words, there's all these mitzrim that they wanted to convert. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I think it's a good idea. So he suggested it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Lech rei ki shiches amecha. Shiches amecha means that your people are messing up. Really, the Egel Azov, it started with the Erev Rav. It started with those people. So it's kind of like on Moshe Rabbeinu's, a little bit on his say-so that these people got in and these people started this whole thing. Now, there are plenty of us that got involved, but the ones that were like the real core was the Erev Rav. So Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to take responsibility for this. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? I'm done with these people. He was upset at Klal Yisrael also, because Klal Yisrael did not have a strong enough response. In other words, the Erev Rav got up and said, let's make an Egel Azov, and Klal Yisrael should have shut it down. They didn't. Some of them even were excited about it and happy about it. Some of them were just sympathetic, but Klal Yisrael as a whole was not strong enough. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's it. I'm finished. I'm done. Okay, I want to put an end to this. And Moshe Rabbeinu, everyone else is just going to be direct from your lineage. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, "He said I can't see all these people being destroyed. So therefore, if you have to take out your anger somewhere, mecheini no mi sifrecha, which means wipe me out, erase my name from your sefer. Instead of Moshe Rabbeinu being the only one that's surviving with his descendants, he said the other way around, take me out." And a fascinating thing, the Rambam Mor Nevuchim says that was the Moshe Rabbeinu's crowning moment, and that's what made Moshe Rabbeinu the greatest man to walk on the face of the earth. If someone would ask the Rambam, who is the greatest man to walk the face of the earth? He would say it was Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Rambam writes this also in Yad. The Yad HaChazak, he says, that the Moshe Rabbeinu is the epitome of a tzaddik in this world. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest moment? And that was when Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to give up his life for the Jewish people. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying the opposite, like, look, let me just, I'm going to stop with all those people. I want to have a pure bread, which is you, and therefore all of your descendants will be the continuation of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu said no. He said, if you need to take out your anger, mecheini no mesifrecha, wipe me out. Erase my name from your sefer. Now, you have to know something about tzaddikim. Tzaddikim, even if they say something ala tzad, even if they say something and they say it only under certain conditions, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always is mekayim it in a certain, in a limited scope, in a certain way. At least, minimally, it's going to have to be niskayim, Moshe Rabbeinu's statement of mecheini no mesifrecha, which is wipe me out from your sefer. So where is Moshe Rabbeinu's name, like, erased from Hashem's Sefer? The answer is in this week's parsha. Because in this week's parsha, there is no mention of Moshe Rabbeinu's name. And even though from Shmois until Zos HaBrocha, Moshe Rabbeinu is everywhere, in this week's parsha, he will not exist. Why? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is taking his name out. He's being erased from the Sefer. And it happens to coincide always with Zayin Adar. As Moshe Rabbeinu is removed from this world, so there in that parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned. Mecheini no mesifrecha. That's how it happens. This is all brought down by many, many sources, amongst them the Vilna Gaon. Listen to this amazing Vilna Gaon. And it's hard to appreciate the brilliance of the Vilna Gaon because we live in the age of computers. But if you don't live in the age of computers, before when the Gaon was around, there were no computers, that he had the mindfulness to go through this type of thing, it's just sheer brilliance. The Gaon says the following thing. How many psukim are there in this week's parsha? There's 101 psukim. That's not the brilliance of the Vilna Gaon. In the end of every parsha, you'll see at the end, it'll tell you the minyan of the psukim. This week's parsha actually calls the kiminyan Michael, because Michael is the Gematria 101. Why is it Minyan Michael? I can explain it very well. Moshe Rabbeinu is gone, so what's going to happen with Klal Yisrael? Who's going to be Ki'ilu, their leader? Who's going to watch over them? Who's going to be the one who's Michael HaMalach? Michael is going to Ki'ilu be the one who's going to guide Klal Yisrael now that Moshe Rabbeinu is not there. Okay? Says the Gaon, listen to this. What is the gematria of the name Moshe? Anyone? 345. Okay, I don't care about that. What I care about is the gematria of the Nister of Moshe. Now, what does that mean? I'll explain. This is the brilliance of the Vilna Gaon. Every letter has a nigla and a nister. For example, the letter Aleph. The nigla on the letter Aleph is the letter Aleph. The nister on the letter Aleph is Lamed Pei. Because if you would write out the letter Aleph, it would be spelled Aleph Lamed Pei. Aleph. The letter Beis. The nigla of the letter Beis is the letter Beis. The nister of the letter Beis is Yud Saf. Because if you would write out the letter Beis, it would be Beis Yud Saf. So what is the nister of Moshe's name? Mem, the nister of Moshe, Mem. How would you spell the letter Mem? Mem, Mem. How would you spell the letter Shin? Shin, Yud, Nun. How would you spell the letter He? He, Aleph. He. So, if you take the nister of the name of Moshe, it's Mem, Yud, Nun, Aleph. Gematria, 101. Says the Vilna Gaon, Moshe Rabbeinu is not here in his nigla. His nigla is not here. But his nistar of Moshe Rabbeinu is still with us. Embedded into the very parsha where Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't exist. Or doesn't appear. Because every one of us has a little bit of Moses inside of us. A little bit of Moshe and me. Which means that we don't know it, right? I think my name is Dovi, or my name is Akiva, or my name is... But really, inside of us, every one of us is Moshe. There's a little bit of Moshe inside every one of us. And that's the nistar of Moshe. And that's the pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam says, Kol ish Mishrael yachal liyos tzadik kemo Moshe Rabbeinu. Every person can be a tzadik like Moshe. Who said? Well, if we've got Moshe inside of us, all we have to do is we have to reveal, we have to bring out the Moses that's inside of us, and then we're it. We are Moshe Rabbeinu, because we've got a little bit of Moshe inside of us. Anyway, this is the Vilna Gaon. Brilliance, my friends, to think about, to be able to do that gematria, the nistar, the gematria on the amount of letters that are on the psukah, it's like, it's amazing how many thoughts, I think it could be in a million years, I never would have thought of this gematria. But the Vilna Gaon, but we're not done. I'd like to share with you now something that is not mentioned by the Vilna Gaon. It's mentioned by the Chiddush Arim, which is not as well known, which is that in last week's parasha, there's no mention of Aaron HaKoyen. That's interesting. In this week's parasha, there's no mention of Moshe. In last week's parasha, there's no mention of Aaron. Now, Moshe and Aaron are very interesting. Two brothers, I would say they're even like polar opposites. And it can happen. These two brothers, we'd like to discuss Moshe and Aaron, and perhaps why this week's parasha is specifically appropriate for Aaron, not Moshe. Moshe is not mentioned. Last week's parasha is specifically appropriate for Moshe. Aaron's not mentioned. Because Moshe and Aaron have two different purposes in this world. And it's amazing because they complement each other as brothers should. But they're polar opposites. You could never imagine they come from the same parents. What's interesting is as follows. When we discuss Moshe Rabbeinu, it says Moshe Rabbeinu is standing there, he's judging the people. Do you know how the Pasuk describes the length of time that Moshe judged the people? Moshe stood, or the people stood, and Moshe sat. Does anyone know from the length of time? Min Boiker Ad Erev. And that's what Yisro said. Like, what is going on? The entire day, Min Boiker Ad Erev, you're here and you're judging the people, Novel Tivol, and that whole story. This week's parasha speaks about the menorah that Aaron lit. And he lit the menorah, Lahalois Ner Tomet, it was Min Erev Ad Boiker. So what's interesting is that Aaron is going from night to day, and Moshe is going from day to night. It's like they're going in different directions. They're polar opposites. What is going on? What is this? I'd like to try to explain as follows, give you a little bit of insight into these two different parashas, Truma and Tetzaveh. Perhaps. The Zohar HaKadosh says, what's the difference between Moshe and Aaron? He says, Moshe was Shushibina de Malka. And Aaron was Shushibina de Matronusa. What does that mean? As follows. At a wedding, you always have someone walking the chasen to the chuppah. You always have someone walking the kala to the chuppah. It's always that way. Those are called the Shushbinin. Shushbinin are the people that are kind of like escorts. Back in the olden days, I think it's a beautiful minig. They used to have not just the parents, but some people have the entire family. I've seen that where the parents walk next to the chassan, and then the behind is the grandparents, and everyone walks as a group, not like, you know, just the grandparents. The entire entourage walks behind, like 10 feet behind the chassan, and walks with him. And which I've only seen once. I was at a chassana once where there was a number of the rabbanim walked behind the chassan, myself included. We walked a few of the rabbanim, like it was like that. And it used to be, I have pictures of old chassanas where all the rabbanim that were there walked behind the chassan. It's like that was part of the entourage. They were the shushbinin. It's the shushbinin of the chassan, shushbinin of the kala. Moshe Rabbeinu is called shushbina de Malka. Malka is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the Melech. Aaron is called Shushbina de Matronusa. The Matronusa is the bride. The bride is Klal Yisrael. We are the bride. So Moshe, his job was to be Shushbina de Malka. You see, we have to get these two together, and they're like far apart. Kodesh Baruch Hu is up there in Shemayim. Klal Yisrael is down here in the world. And the Shemayim, Shemayim, Lashem, Baritz, Nasan, Levnei, Adam. How do we get the two of them together? someone's got to bring the two of them to meet somewhere on Har Sinai. So you got to bring up the Jewish people. You got to bring down the Shekhinah. So who's going to escort? Moshe escorted Hashem. Moshe is the closest thing that we have in this world to an angel. He's the only one who is really described as an Isha Lakim. Moshe Rabbeinu did things that no one else did. For example, he left his wife. We wouldn't approve of these types of things. He actually was living in Shemayim, which is very irregular and bizarre. You have a human being that went up to Shemayim talking to angels and debating with them. And Moshe Rabbeinu was irregular. For 40 days, 40 nights, he didn't eat. Probably didn't eat after that either. Moshe Rabbeinu was like shayach to this hecherkeit. Aaron HaKohen was just like one of the people. There's a saying about someone, he's like salt of the earth. He's like Amcha, is the way they say it in Hebrew. Amcha is like, he's one of the, you know, in today's Sprach, like he's one of the boys. Aaron was like one of the boys. He was like one of the, he was part of the Chevra, Aaron HaKohen. And therefore, Aaron was like, the people related to Aaron, very much so. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to remember who told it to me recently. It's like after Moshe Rabbeinu was gone, so why didn't they just have Aaron as their leader? It's like they were like, everyone started bugging out. Like, there's Moshe Rabbeinu, where did he go? So what are we going to do? What do you mean? You have Aaron. Aaron is unbelievable. Aaron was, he was like one of us. They didn't see him as a leader. He wasn't like, a leader is someone who's like, who's removed a little bit. Aaron was like one of the people. Aaron was really Shushbinan de Matranusa. He was like everyone related to him. Sure, he elevated everyone, but in a very, very like subtle way. Aaron HaKohen was Oyeves Abrius. Oyeves Abrius means he loved everyone. And Aaron made a lot of shalom. Everyone named their children, you know, after Aaron passed away, a lot of people named their children Aaron. Because Aaron was just one of those, he was like, everyone like related to him much more than they related to Aaron. Moshe was much more distant. So Aaron was Shemina de Matronusa. He was like the one who was like bringing the people up because the people, like he was like one of them. So we have these two. Moshe's job was to bring Hashem down. He was to go from the clearest light, because when you're by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have clarity. That's Boiker. Moshe went from Boiker and he started coming down towards Erev, towards darkness, towards this world. Aaron HaKohen was the opposite. Aaron HaKohen went from Erev, from darkness, and tried to elevate the people and bring them up towards light, towards Boker. So Aaron and Moshe are going in different directions and they're trying to meet in the middle. And perhaps these two parshas that we have, of Truma and Tetzaveh, somehow reflect these two ideas. I'd like to show you how. Before I do, there's a fascinating Arizal, which says the following thing. Moshe and Aaron also had other personalities that had a certain similarity to them. And that was Hillel and Shammai. Where do we find that? Moshe Rabbeinu said, Lo ish dvarim anoichi. I'm not a man of words. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't speak smoothly, was not eloquent. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Aaron HaKohen, Aaron Achicha, Hu Yiyeh Lecha Lepeh. He will be the one who speaks for you. You look at the Rashi Tevis of the word of Hu Yiyeh Lecha Lepeh, what do you get? Hu Yiyeh Lecha Lepeh, Hillel. Rashi Tevis, Hillel. Aaron is Hu Yiyeh Lecha Lepeh is Hillel. Moshe said about himself, Loi ish dvarim anoichi. If you look at those words, you take the soif tevois, and we'll explain why soif tevois. Soif tevois of the words, Loi ish dvarim anoichi, that's what Moshe said, you get the word Shammai. Let's change the order a little bit, but it's there. So it's interesting. Moshe is saying about himself, Loi ish dvarim anoichi, I'm Shammai. Hashem says about Aaron, Hu yeh lecha lepeh, who's Hillel? What's the difference Hillel and Shammai? So I think we all probably relate more to Hillel than we do to Shammai. Hillel was like one of these v'haft l'reicha kamocha types of people. He was the type of person who was impossible to like upset or to get angry. He was the type of person that when the ger came to him, when he spoke to him, it was much more like accepting. Shammai was stricter. Shammai in general was strict. As a matter of fact, we know when there's a machloikes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai is always the machmir, Beis Hillel is always the mekel. So Beis Hillel is more the type of person that people would like gravitate to. That's more of Aaron. Aaron is more midas ha-chesed or midas ha-rachamim. Moshe Rabbeinu is more midas ha-din. Moshe Rabbeinu is more, because when you live on such a high plane, like Moshe Rabbeinu, so then you can exist in the realm of din. Aaron HaKohen is with the people. The people need a lot more, they need a lot more flexibility. They need a lot more rachamim. Moshe Rabbeinu is like with malachim. Perfect, perfection. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't need rachamim. That's like Shammai, who's machmir. These are the two different personalities of Moshe and Aaron, polar opposites. So why is it that Truman Tetzaver, each one reflect a different thing? And I'd like to just end with why is Shammai Seif Tevis of Moshe? As follows. Parshas Truma. It was all about the Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash. All of the Kalim, aside for one, were all listed in last week's Parsha. The Menorah, the Oroin, the Mizbeach, the Shulchan. All the details were all in Parsha's Truma. The details of the Big Day Koyin Gadol are in this week's Parsha of Tetzaveh. All of the details of all of the begodim, the ephod, the choshen, all of the begodim are mentioned in this week's parasha. That's the way the parashas are broken up. Now, the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash are the furniture of the Beis itself. The parasha begins, V'asu li mikdash v'shochanti b'soichem. This is my home. As a matter of fact, the Rambam brings the building of the Kelim as part of the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. Vasuli Mikdash, part of my Mikdash is my Kelim that are in my Mikdash. That's all reflecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the Beis HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the Shushbina Dimalka, is Moshe Rabbeinu. Last week's parasha is Moshe's parasha. Aaron does not appear. Because when we're dealing with making a bais for Hashem, so Aaron doesn't have a place there. Not yet. However, we also are going to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have a representative in that bais. Who's that? That's the Kohen Gadol. He represents us. So the Kohen Gadol's begadim that are in this week's parasha that reflect Klal Yisrael's ability to interact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who's the Shushbina de Matranusa? Who's the one who is bringing Ki'ilu, Klal Yisrael, closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's Aaron. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't exist in this week's parsha. And that's the dichotomy between the two parshas. So we have these two different ideas, two different personalities. There's Moshe and there's Aaron. In this world, we relate much more to Aaron. However, what's interesting is that it's brought down from the Zohar HaKadosh that Lasid Lavoi, we're actually going to paskin like Beis Shammai and not like Beis Hillel. Why? Because Lasid Lavoi, when we like graduate, and we no longer need to be treated like a little bit more gently, because Lasid Lavoi, we're already going to be strong enough to be treated with true Midas Adin. So then Beis Shammai's approach to Avodas Hashem is going to be more appropriate for us. In this world, we have to deal with the reality that we need a little bit of flexibility. So that's Beis Hillel. Lasid Lavoi, we're going to paskin like Beis Shammai. Perhaps that's why Moshe's his hint to Shammai is in his Soif Tevis. Aaron's hint to Hillel is in his Rashi Tevis. Hu Yiyah L'chol Peh. Is the Rosh Tevis. Lo Yish Dvar Manochi is the Soif Tevis, because Lasid Lavoi, we're talking going to get a place where every single one of us is going to bring out the Moshe that's inside of us, every one of us. And when we're there, we're going to be able to all be the Shushmina de Malka. And every one of us is going to be able to live on that in that way where we're not going to need food, we're not going to need sleep, we're going to be able to be on the Darga of Malachim. And that Beis Hashem is what we're all waiting for. So the only thing that's left, which is interesting, is why is it that Mizbeach HaKtoiras is in Parshas Tetzaveh? That's the one exception. If you look, all the other Kelim are all in Parshas Truma. The one kli that for some reason we wait until after we speak about all the big day kahuna. At the end of this week's parasha is the parasha of the Ketores. So what is different about the Mizbeach HaKetores? Meshech Chochma speaks about it and other Mefarshim about what is unique about this, about the Ketores, that the Ketores doesn't belong in Parashas Truma, and even though it's a keli, or it appeared to be a keli, and all the kelim are in Truma, it's still in Tetzaveh with all the begadim. That's something for the Olam to think about. So Rabbi Isai, I'd love to hear your impressions. Thank you very much. Have a good Shabbos, everyone.